My name is Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where we talk about the things that made us who we are and where we're going in the future.
Because every week we're finding a new way that we're growing up.
Hey, I'm Martha.
And this is Colby on Martha and Colby Grow Up,
a podcast where 20-somethings navigate life apart together. We have a question for you this week. Are you registered to vote?
Are you registered to vote?
I am registered to vote. Every time I move, you can update your address with the Postal Service, and they give you an option to change your voting registration. So I always do that.
Like online?
Mm-hmm.
Must be nice. They don't want us to vote here, so.
Yeah, that's right. I always find it shocking that you either can't do it online or you can't do same day registration, because you can do both of those things in Minnesota. So I just think it's funny.
Not here. Nope. They don't want Colby to vote. So every time you like change addresses, you have to go through the entire process again. And I like how they label it as renew your voter registration. It's literally just registering to vote again.
I have a funny story. So the primaries for the 2020 election are on March 3rd. And when I was in college, I think this was, I don't know if I know what it's called, but it's not a primary, but it's the one where you have to select the who you want to represent the party. And
the DNC, RNC, whichever one it
was. Yeah. Well, no, because you don't vote on that, but I don't remember.
Everyone comes and they vote on who they want to represent the party. So the DNC was in Minneapolis, like, not that long ago, right?
I think it was the RNC. I don't remember, actually. I don't think it was the DNC. Let's find out.
I think that the RNC was in Charlotte not too long ago. I don't live near Charlotte.
When you find that out, let me know. But we had to vote. I was in college for the 2016 election, and my roommate at the time was like, hey, do you want to like go vote in these like primaries or whatever it was? And she's like, oh, I just realized that we're probably not going to go to the same one. She was voting for, I think she voted for Marco Rubio at the time. And I was like, no, nah, man, I'm on the Bernie train. Sorry. So that was like a little awkward.
It was 2008 was the Republican National Convention in the Xcel Energy Center in St. Paul, Minnesota.
There we go. 2 decades ago.
Oh, but yeah, no, that's not how decades work. it is. I'm not registered to vote at my current address because I just moved and we need to send it off soon. So that is processed in time for the primary.
Do it.
I know.
Do it tomorrow. Otherwise, you'll forget.
It takes so long for it to go through the system and for it to work. So I think I'll get like my voter card and everything. I mean, I'm pretty sure I can vote as soon as they do it, but I like having the card so I know that it actually went through and it says what it's supposed to say. So
that's funny. We don't have a card. We just have.
I mean, you don't have to bring it or anything. Oh, okay. It's just like I know that once I get the card, then it's like official and I don't worry about something not happening.
When there is there's just a big sheet of paper at your like precinct and you just have to like tell them your name and they like check you off. We don't even check ID.
Oh yeah. You don't. Yeah. Voter ID is illegal. Yeah.
Anyways, you can find us on Instagram at Real Martha Riley and then on Twitter at Martha and Colby.
And you can find me on Twitter at Colby Complains.
Welcome back to Reflections Month. Last week we went through our year, our last decade, 2010 to 2019. And then we shared some things we're excited for in 2020. And then shortly after that episode, I got sick. And so I've been sick all week. So if I sound sick today, I apologize.
You do not sound how you sounded a couple days ago.
Oh, God, that was so bad. That was like, holy shit. I should play that voice note again. I sounded like a pack a day.
It was not good.
This week we are going to do something different. We're just going to not have any really set structure, but we're going to sort of talk about relationships, but we're just going to like go for it. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Watched the movie The Lords of Dogtown last night, so I'm in like full skater bro mode.
Excuse me? He's watch what?
Lords of Dogtown.
Heard of this in my entire life. Should I have heard of this, or is it like a weird indie movie?
It was directed by the person who directed Twilight, so kind of weird.
Catherine
indie.
Hardwick.
Heath Ledger's in it, though.
I can tell by this.
So is Jeremy Renner.
Interesting. Yeah, Catherine Hardwick, she's a pretty good director.
Yeah.
She only did the first Twilight, though, right? She didn't do the rest of them.
No, I think she got booted, because I mean, people thought the first Twilight was too like experimental or whatever. You know, a movie I recently watched was Fast Five, and that's a good segue into relationships, because I had an ex-boyfriend, we'll call him George. And you know what? Whatever. It doesn't matter. That's not his real name, but I've said his real name before, but for anonymity purposes.
Did you just say your next boyfriend?
No, I had a boyfriend.
Oh, I thought you said my next boyfriend's name is George. I was like, I don't know who this human is.
There have been no Georges. I've never dated a George.
Me neither.
Interesting. So George, we love the Fast and Furious movies, and we went to Furious 7, which is the one Paul Walker died while filming, and we were the only white people in the theater.
Do black people like Fast and Furious?
I don't know. I can't answer that because I'm not black.
Yeah, but you've been to more Fast and Furious movies than me, as I've been to none, so.
I will say that I think Fast and Furious.
I'm loving you navigating this question.
I'm very slow today. Today is a slow day. I think Fast and Furious appeals to a wide range of audiences just because the cast is very diverse. So there's like, I mean, Dominic Toretto is Vin Diesel. There's Paul Walker. There's Ludacris. There is, oh, I forgot his name. Oh, Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot. There's Han. I don't know the actor who plays Han's name, but he's Asian. So it appeals to a lot of people. It was ahead of its time, I think, in casting diversity. I can't know that for sure, but like, there's only, like, one main white person. Is Vin Diesel white? I don't know.
I just went to his Wikipedia page because I wasn't sure either. Diesel has stated that he is of ambiguous ethnicity.
Okay.
So he was raised in New York City by his Caucasian mother and African-American stepfather, Irving H. Vincent, an acting instructor and theater manager.
Do you know Vin Diesel has a kid whose name is Paulina? And that was named for Paul Walker.
That's really cute. I thought you were about to say name Vin Diesel, because his name isn't actually Vin Diesel. And I thought it was like a Future situation where Future named his kid actually Future.
Oh my God. Vin Diesel's real name is Mark Sinclair.
I can see it.
That's a boring name.
I can 100%
name.
See that.
Colby Waddell.
Mark Sinclair. But what does Fast and Furious have to do with relationships?
Fast and Furious has to do with the relationships because A, there is a lot of different relationships in those movies. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And also it was a thing that George and I used to do together. And that was like not like cornerstone of our relationship, but it's one of those traditions that we always had to do together. So reflection on that relationship. But if we want to get into it a little more, because I think we've just been shooting the shit for like 10 minutes.
I mean, that's exactly what this podcast is going to be. So let's just keep going.
So I think one thing that was interesting about that relationship with George, and that was like my second long-term relationship. We dated for 3.5 years.
What do you consider a long-term relationship?
Anything over a year.
Okay.
We'll call him James. James and I only dated for like 6 months, so I wouldn't consider
that. So you only date British monarchs is what I'm gathering.
Yes, my first boyfriend's name was Henry. No, we're just going to roll with it. James and I dated for 6 months, and I wouldn't consider that a super long-term relationship just because, I don't know, it wasn't. We didn't date for that long. We broke up October 30th, I believe. So
I feel like it wasn't that long ago. Like October 30th is like that's a house away from from where I am now.
Calendarily, that's not a word.
We're going to use it.
Calendarily, it's only been like 2.5 months, but it feels a lot longer.
For sure.
So that's a good question I will pose to you. Do you think time in relationships is the same as like time in your everyday life? Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes, I do. It's weird because my current relationship, we have been official for about 4.5 years.
So long.
Yeah, it's been a while. And sometimes it feels okay. So here, I will answer that question this way. Within our relationship, it doesn't feel that long. But when we talk about things that we were doing while like other things outside of us that we were doing, it feels very, very long ago.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I was a very different person when I was 18.
Yeah.
When we started. Yeah. Was I 18? Yes, I was 18 for another 11 days when we started dating. I have a bracelet that has our anniversary on it, which is what
that pause was.
Yeah, it says 080915, and the other side says promise.
Cute. Yeah, also, apparently I say cute a lot. Our producer informed us of that. So I dated George. You're going to name your partner Elizabeth, because we're just going to go with the British monarchy.
It's not like you can't go to my Instagram and like figure out who she is very easily.
True, but I think it's funny to like keep up the facade. So I dated George. We started dating when I was 20. And I remember he came to my 21st birthday. We got pizza and I had a glass of wine because I was like, ooh, wine. And I didn't finish it. Now I can put back a bottle a night. No problem. But
congrats,
back then, I couldn't.
I'm proud of you.
Thank you. Actually, that's a lie. I've never finished a bottle of wine in one night. No, I get really drunk towards like the last 75% of it or like the last 25%. I can't.
We call that go time.
I can't do it. I haven't drank in like a week. It's hurting me.
Are you a lightweight?
No, I'm not at all. But well, let's think about that. On New Year's Eve. No, I don't want to. That's not part of this podcast. So I think, yeah, time in relationships is different because when we started dating, I was 20. When we broke up, I was 24. Yeah, I was 24. So, and I'm 25 now. So it hasn't even been that long since we broke up. Like we broke up in, I think, May of 2018. And so that was like less than 2 years ago, but it still feels like I remember it very vividly, the breakup and like how it went and like what my thought process was behind it. Which you can listen about in, I have an episode on breakups earlier when it was Shit You Need to Know. I think I go into detail on it there, but yeah, it's definitely like, are you familiar with the term? I don't know if I'm getting it right, but it's like a psychology term called like a flashbulb memory, I think.
Tell me more. I think so, but tell me more.
So I don't know if that's like the exact term for it, but they reference it a lot in reference to 9/11. Like you remember where you were on 9/11 or like another big event. I actually don't remember where I was on 9/11. I remember some parts of it. But I don't remember like where I was when I found out that happened, but
me neither. 'Cause I was 5.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, 7, I think. So,
but that term's right. Flashbulb memory.
Okay, there. I was right. But I think relationships can be thought of in terms of flashbulb memories. Like you remember your first kiss, like your first date, how like it, you know, a big fight or what happened when you broke up. Because I still remember this like almost 6 years later. No. Yeah. Yeah. Almost 6 years later. We started going out in September of 20, when I was 20, and I'm almost 26, so it'll be 6 years in September of this year. But it's crazy because I remember we went on a date to a pizza place, Pizzeria Lola in Minneapolis. I remember what I was wearing. I remember I didn't, he gave me a really long hug when he picked me up because I was like, he said he wanted a hug. And I was like, all right, that's fucking weird, but whatever, dude. So he hugged me for a super long time. And I felt weirded out by that. And then I remember like walking slightly ahead of him into the restaurant because I didn't want him to hold my hand. So you remember like all these small details, even though you're no longer together necessarily. I mean, for you and your partner, you are. But for me and George, we haven't been together for a while. But I don't know, like you remember all these funny things. But I think in that sense, it's also good because you can take some of those things that you really liked and maybe look for that in your next relationship, I guess, because I don't know. I think every relationship you get better, or in the sense that like you either grow together or you grow apart. And unfortunately, like my relationships have ended where we have grown apart. And I would say like you guys are growing together from what I know about you. I don't want to like assume, but we live together now.
Things are going well.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. We talk about this. And so I think that's, you take what you liked from past relationships and sort of put that into your future relationships, I guess. That's sort of how I'm doing it. I don't know.
I definitely have like taken things from past relationships and experience and even like this current relationship and like use that to inform how I go about doing things. I think that learning how, the biggest thing that I've learned, especially in this relationship, is learning how to disagree
with
someone in a relationship. Say more on that.
Yeah.
I think it takes a lot of, it takes a lot of patience and learning more about yourself and your significant other to know how to argue and how to fight and what the other person needs and what you need in those types of scenarios where you aren't seeing eye to eye for whatever reason. Even if like if it's something small or big, like that's what concerns me about relationships that are very new and they're like, oh, we're engaged after like 6 months. I'm like, okay, 6 months into like me and my partner dating, we had never fought before. Like everything was good. Like we kind of knew things about each other. We didn't know everything about each other yet. And I mean, I still don't think we know everything about each other because people are complex and we've been a part of each other's lives for a long time. But they, like, she also lived for a very long time before I was here. So I think that learning how to disagree with each other is so important to having a good relationship.
I think that is a really good point in that you shouldn't know everything about each other 6 months or a year or 4 years into a relationship, because I think that's no fun if you do, you know, like you kind of have to keep an air of mystery. And I don't like that term for it. I think there's probably a better term, but you do have to like really actively work to learn about your partner instead of just like play 20 questions. You're like, okay, yep, this is the person I want to spend my life with. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. It's not like I ask her questions.
Right.
Like at this point, it's fun when I learn something about her that I didn't know before.
You can look at that in friendships too, because we've only been friends for really not that long. 8 months, maybe 7 months. Not
something
that long.
Like that.
Yeah. And we still learn things about each other, like in doing the show and talking to each other in whatever way that takes. So I think friendships work that way too. Like you have to actively work to learn who this person is. You can't just sort of assume you're going to fit into their life. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Like friendships are relationships.
Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, we don't have to talk about friendships that much because we did an episode on that pretty recently. But yeah, there's a lot of different types of relationships.
For sure. The more intimate the relationship, like the more, I think that we're talking more generally. I think a lot of the things they're saying will apply to all relationships.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going through the Rolodex in my head of things that we're talking about. But I think that, I don't know, there's just something special about the more intimate ones.
Let's start talking more about romantic relationships, because I've been in a few. I guess I've been in three relationships where, like, I've said I love you to the person. I've dated way more than three people.
We have very different love lives.
I know, but that's interesting, I think. So, I mean, I guess I can, like, go through a little bit. But my first boyfriend was in high school.
How'd you meet?
Speech team.
Nerds.
I know. Our first date was him helping me with my physics homework. Because I was bad at school. Stay in school, kids. We did that, and we dated for a year and 7 months. I remember this because back then I was, like, obsessed with tracking the month of the relationship. I was like, okay, it's been a year and a half. It's been a year and 7 months. And honestly, you want to know why I did that? And this just popped in my head, but it's because I wanted to beat his last girlfriend. Yeah. I wanted to be in a relationship longer than his old girlfriend. And that's, like, so weird and competitive and not why you should stay in a relationship.
No, me and my partner did that for a while, yeah, until it involved multiplication. And when it started involving, like, variables, once the algebra got involved, we stopped counting.
Yeah, that's super funny. So we stayed together for definitely longer than we should have, just because it was my first relationship and it was his second relationship. And I don't know, I just, like, wanted to date someone. I don't know.
But it's like a thing in high school.
Yeah, it's like a status thing. But my brother.
Oh, I will get to. Yeah, please continue.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, thinking about my brother in high school, he's your age. I think he only ever dated one person. I think her name is Holly.
He is not currently in high school, to be clear.
No. But
when he was in high school.
Yeah. So I should ask him about that, because we never talk about relationships or anything. So, but it is definitely a status thing in high school. Like, okay, yep, I need to have a prom date. Who can I date? Stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. No, like, I've been in two relationships where I've said I love you. The first one was in high school. We met because, so here, so two things. My go-to move in high school when I wanted to get someone's number was, hey, I have trouble keeping up with the homework when I'm in class. Can I get your homework so I can text you and ask you to remind me?
That's which, like, what one, you did, though. That's what the nerdy kids did.
One was the move. Two, absolutely true, because I did not keep up with the homework and did need someone to remind me. So there was a utilitarian purpose as well. Anyway, there was this girl I had a crush on, and I liked her a lot, and I didn't know how to talk to her. So I started texting one of my other friends who was a girl. Oh,
for sure. Yeah.
And then that was the one that worked.
Wait, so sorry, you texted the girl that you were friends with and you dated, mm-hmm, that girl, or you dated?
Yes. It's exactly what happened.
That's funny. I had this master plan, actually. Oh my gosh, this is so funny now that we're talking about this. So before school started, or, like, so freshmen had to go to school, like, a day early to, like, get oriented or whatever.
Yours was a day before?
Yeah.
Ours was, like, a week before.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. That's really
It early. Wasn't, like, a week long. It was just, like, a day, but it was, yeah, a week before school started.
So, well, all schools in Minnesota, not all of them, but most of them, start after Labor Day.
Weird.
Because of the state fair.
How long was your school year?
September to first week of June, usually.
Do you remember how many days?
No. 100 days?
It's more than 100 days, I promise you. No, because our...
Maybe like 200 days, I don't know.
Our school was... It started a couple weeks into August, like the third-ish week of August, around my birthday. And it went through a little after Labor Day.
So that's a month. Wait, your school was year-round?
Not Labor Day, Memorial Day.
Oh.
So like August to June.
So, no, that's basically the same. We're just a couple weeks different.
September's so late, though. Good Lord.
Yeah. Well, because of the state fair, but...
You say that like it's obvious. Why? Because why is the state fair the thing that marks when school starts?
Because
also, why is your state fair in September? That's ridiculous.
It's all right, Colby. It's not. It ends Labor Day. Labor Day is the last day of the Minnesota State Fair,
and that's so early.
Do you know when Labor Day is?
Yeah, September. Our state fair is in October. Like the middle of October.
Okay, do you realize what state I live in?
Have better weather.
Global warming.
It's coming. Better weather is coming. You played the long game.
Oh, Lord.
Weather talk. What were we talking about?
We were talking about high school. So, okay. So, freshman students came the day before, and the captains of the team had to do a little activity fair. So I was captain of the swim team and the speech team, but I volunteered for speech team, I think, and I like made sure that this guy was gonna be there so we could talk and like do things because he was cute. And I remember we had like a little Facebook Messenger group set up before, and it was really cute. Oh my gosh. Just high school flirting was I
gross.
Don't know how to
it's
flirt.
Bad. It's now. Terrible.
I know. But like God, how do you flirt? I don't know. I don't know if I've ever been good at it. Well, I've dated my more than fair share of people, so I don't know. I must be okay. Maybe they're just anyways. I won't
fake it till you make it. No, but I meant to bring up like the status thing. It was for sure a thing. It was like, oh, like nerd power couple at Southeast. It was, oh, that was a wild semester. God.
Oh, here's the question I wanted to ask. Have you only ever dated people that were black?
No.
Oh, interesting.
No, she wasn't. That's why we broke up. Honestly, like literally, that's why we broke up.
I've only ever dated white people, and I don't know if that's necessarily like a bad thing. I think it's just maybe an interesting fact, but
no, it's I have a thing since I was like in an interracial relationship before. I am very uncomfortable when people judge people for dating like certain race. Okay, here's what I'll say. Like, if you are dating someone within your own race, it's like, it's okay. Like, you are not racist because you have, like, you don't, you or you haven't dated someone outside of your race. I do think it's a problem if you refuse to date somebody out of your race.
Oh,
I think
sure.
There are some implicit biases there to unpack. But I think that just because you tend to date people with similar experiences than you. So it kind of helps to come from similar backgrounds for that.
Yeah. And I'm not like defending myself in this, like, but I'm just like factually.
Explain yourself, Martha.
Well, just like factually, there are more white people in Minnesota.
Naturally.
And
we don't go up there.
You're right. Like, I'm not opposed to dating someone that is not white, but I just never, it's never like came up for me. And I don't know why. I don't really have an answer to that. I guess, I don't know. I've been like attracted to people that are not white, but it's never like when I'm on dating apps, there's like just truly not a lot of black people or like Asian people. There's just really not. So.
My parents thought I was going to end. I'm pretty sure my entire family thought I was going to end up with a white girl.
It's not too late. Just kidding. That sounded threatening. That's like when people think we're getting married. Like, no, we're not in a relationship. That's another type of relationship. Podcast co-hosts. How would you define our relationship, because we're friends, mm-hmm. but we're also like business partners in a way. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't like labels.
Yeah, I know. Because I remember I called you guys my best friend, and you're like, "What are you doing, Martha?" I was like, "Say it back, fucking say it back."
No, that's a great question.
Take your time.
We're friends. We're good friends.
Yeah, but we also. Do you think we would be friends if we didn't? Yeah, no, we were friends before we started co-hosting together. Yeah. So.
We'd for sure still be friends.
Yeah. I was like, I got a little anxious asking you that. I was like, no, wait. Yeah, of course we would be.
No, absolutely.
I just think it's funny because we have like a set time every week. We have to like plan our schedule. We have to plan ahead of what we want to talk about and like do promotion for our listeners and stuff, which are not that good at. We probably need to get better at that in this year. But it's a different sort of relationship where you know a lot about me because I talk a lot about myself, but you maybe
what?
Fuck off. But you maybe wouldn't have known that if I hadn't brought it up. I don't know. That's maybe not true. I kind of just talk about myself a lot, so.
I haven't noticed. I don't know. It depends. I've been, like, actively working on being more, like, emotionally open since high school.
That's good.
So, you eventually would have wrung it out of me.
That's another good question. How do you express emotion to your friends, to your partner? Are you like, is physical touch one of your love languages? Are you more like words of affirmation?
Definitely physical. Okay, definitely romantically physical touch.
Yeah.
I'm a cuddler. I like touching and holding hands and not so much like PDA.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not like avoiding touching her at all costs in public, but it's just not like we aren't making out in the stairwell. Like that's not happening.
I will say I've gotten drunk and like made out with my date on a dance floor in front of everyone, but I blame the alcohol, not me.
Have I ever made out with her at a party? I don't think so.
So, and what about with friends? Are you more like, or do, because you were a guy and like weird, you guys are taught to repress your masculinity or whatever.
Two bros chilling in a hot tub.
Because they're not gay.
Yeah, no, I make myself do it. Especially with my guy friends.
So there is someone that I am dating right now. And we've been on a couple days. And I don't think he listens to this, so I think it's cool. I think he'd like if I told him this, but anyways, I've noticed that he's a really good friend. Like, he will hug his friends, he will, like, a few days ago he made bagels for everyone, and he'll cook for people, and he'll always, you know, if you need him to be there for you, he'll listen to you or whatever. We've only hung out, I mean, like, we've been on, I guess, like, three dates, but they've all lasted for 12 hours each. Read into that what you will. But it's something that has become, like, very clear to me is that, like, he values his friends and his family very highly. And I think that's, like, a great trait to have because I'm sort of the same way. But, yeah, I'll definitely, like, show my friends. I mean, I tell you guys, I was like, hey, yeah, like, love you guys. Like,
yeah.
I'm probably better at it with people on the internet, like you guys and Slack friends, better than some of my in-person friends. So I've been trying to be better about that. Like, sometimes I'll just send a text like, hey, like, thanks for being my friend. Like, you mean a lot to me. But I'm always worried that for some reason I don't have enough friends, and I don't know. So it's friendship is weird, and we're delving into that again when I don't know if we should be necessarily, but
it's fine. We're just talking.
Yeah, that's true.
I do think, okay, so, like, when I see, like, the Never Made Varsity boys, whenever I see them in person, it's for sure hugs. Hugs for everyone. A lot of my, like, I, at this point, I know if my friends are huggers or not. But I do like hugs. Hugs are good.
I like hugs. there are some friends that I won't hug, though, and I don't know why. One of my old friends, we just never hugged. We're not really, like, we don't talk that much anymore, unfortunately, but maybe that's why. Maybe you need to show emotion to keep that connection alive.
I'll see one of the Never Meet Varsity people tonight. It's nice that we live in the same area now.
That is nice. Do you guys all live in the same area now?
No. I am in Durham. Aaron's in Chapel Hill, which is, so, like, Chapel Hill is, like, I can see Chapel Hill right now out this window. David's in, like, outside of Charlotte, and which is 2.5 hours from here, and Maverick is in the mountains, and that's, like, 3-ish hours from here. He's in Asheville. He works at, I can say that, because he talks about it all the time. He works at Biltmore.
The estate? Oh, hell yeah.
Hit him up to get some wine tastings.
I want to talk about dating a little bit.
Okay.
So, as y'all know, I'm dating right now. And I think that's very interesting in relationships because, I mean, everyone has an end goal in dating, whether you realize it or not. It could be like, okay, I want to hook up with this person at the end of the night, or I want to find a long-term partner. And so that's been very interesting, seeing what people want. Because one thing I've noticed is that, like, people are pretty shit at communicating what they want out of a relationship. And mm-hmm. I am too, just because I think it's very hard if you're on a second date and you're like, yeah, you know, like, I'm looking for a boyfriend, like a long-term boyfriend. And I think that maybe, like, turns people off. But at the same time, you want to sort of separate the grain from the chaff, or whatever that expression is. And is that, I don't know. That's an expression.
It's close enough. I know what you mean.
Wheat from the chaff? Doesn't matter.
I think that's it, but okay. It doesn't matter.
Glad we got through eventually. But you can also, like, find the people that want what you want, but you don't want to, like, outright ask for it in case it turns them off. But then at the same time, like, oh, if it's good, if it turns them off, because you don't want that. I don't know. So it's, like, it's a weird game. And something that I learned about recently, it's called relationship anarchy. And
sounds fun.
Yeah,
that makes it sound like a great time.
let me pull up an actual definition, because I don't want to.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
Because there's definitely, like, a cultural difference between the South and, like, I'll call it, like, the coasts, like, both coasts, where I feel like this is a very, very general statement.
Sure.
But people down South are more likely to be looking for a long-term thing, where people on the coast are more likely to be dating casually, and whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. What is it like in Minnesota / the Midwest / the North / whatever region of the country you claim you're from?
I'm from Canada.
Right.
honestly, kind of the same. I would say that if I'm looking at my friend group, a lot of them already are married. A lot of them have been in relationships for 5 or more years. A lot of them are engaged. A lot of them met in college. It's becoming more common now that, like, people are, you know, going on dating apps or getting married from people that they've met on dating apps. I have a friend that's getting married in September, and she met her fiance on an app, on Bumble, I think. And so that's been cool to see, but it's definitely still, like, I'm 26 and I feel that is a little bit too young for my life stage right now to get married, mostly because I've never been the type of person. This sort of goes back to, like, okay, I'm going to tie in my point with relationship anarchy and go forward. So on the Wikipedia page for relationship anarchy, it's basically a belief system that resists all form of ownership and rules-based relating. So there's a thing called a relationship escalator. And basically you're like, okay, we start on the friend level. The next step is, like, romantic sexual interest. The next step is partner. The next step is, like, spouse. So it's like a hierarchy of, like, relationships. So, like, the end goal is to ride that relationship escalator and, like, be married. And I think that that's something that's never been super appealing for me. So I mean, like, yes, I would love to get married, but it's not at the top of my priority list at 26. Ask me next year. I don't know. Maybe I would be like jonesing to get married, but probably not.
Jonesing is a great verb.
I feel like
to Jones.
That's funny. But so basically, like with relationship anarchy, you're sort of resisting the idea that you need to belong to someone else and you can sort of make up the rules, which is what I like. Like, I want a partner, but I want to do it on my own terms and I don't want to be forced into marriage. However, I don't think that is the case for my friend group. And I would say that a lot of my friends are very comfortable with monogamy and getting married and having kids, which is great. I'm like super happy for them and I will be like the best aunt ever. But for me, that's something that's never super appealed to me, just because I think, I don't know, there's a lot out there and there's a lot I haven't done. And there's a lot I haven't explored yet. But I do think that one thing that people maybe, I don't want to say like get wrong, is that I think that marriage is definitely a choice, and like being in a long-term relationship is a choice you make every day versus something that, okay, it's closing time at the bar and this is who I'm left with. This is going to be my partner. Like, so something like that. Not necessarily that you're not literally meeting them at the bar, but there's a finite pool of people. You have to pick someone from that pool to move on to the next phase with. And I think that I don't like. So,
well, like, for me, I always stumble into relationships.
Yeah.
Like, it's just always been a thing. I guess not so much for my current relationship.
No, and I've definitely stumbled into them too, but
yeah, but this was definitely the closest one that kind of, I won't say that we, it's not that we weren't friends before we started like talking and stuff. I think that when we were talking and stuff, we were already interested in more, if that makes sense. I've never really dated before.
Yeah.
Like, in the way that like you date, like, that just, one, I'm a shy boy. And I don't like talking to new people.
Yeah. So
that's not really something I ever wanted. But I don't know. I'm a dirty normie that wants to have a long-term relationship with 2.5 kids and a dog and a fence.
I don't think that's bad, though. Like, I want to be like very clear that that is not a bad thing. It's just not something that I've ever aspired to, because I think my view of love sort of got rocked pretty hard when my parents got divorced. And so I've always been a little wary of marriage after they got divorced. Like, honestly, that's sort of where it all started. Like, oh, how, you know, this foundational relationship of my life, they're divorced after 19 years of marriage. Like, holy shit. No, God, it was longer than that. They almost made it to 25, I think. So that's just, it's weird to me. I don't know. But I think one thing that I'm reading this on, like, relationship anarchy, is that you like love and respect instead of entitlement, I think, is something that you can bring to all your relationships. Like, you aren't entitled to anyone. Even when you're married, I don't think you're entitled to your wife. Like, you have to, you know, work towards that and work towards their respect and like keep their respect. I think maybe you disagree with me, but
why would I disagree with that?
Some people do. Some people are like, oh yeah, no, like, I'm married. This is it now. This is, I'm never going to get divorced, because Catholic Church still doesn't believe in divorce. So, a lot of people who are,
oh, King Henry VIII fixed that one.
Oh yes. My, former lover, Henry VIII. Oh God, I can't believe I just said lover. Gross.
I can't believe you said the sentence, my former lover, Henry VIII. There are some implications behind that one. Anyway, we should wrap this one up.
In conclusion, here is the thesis statement. For me, I think that relationships are a choice and you have to work at them. And that's something that I definitely never super did in past relationships. I definitely felt more of the entitlement. So I think going into whatever next relationship happens for me, I definitely want to be like, okay, like, I respect you as a partner. How can we make this work together? And on the flip side of that is like knowing when to let go and knowing when it's not going to work out. So that is my view on relationships. Colby, do you want to sum up your thoughts?
Yes. Relationships, I don't want to say are work, but they do take attention and they take time.
Yes.
And you should treat your relationships with respect. With the amount of respect they deserve. Sometimes some relationships don't deserve a bunch of respect, and it's okay to let those things go. But, you know, go where you go, do what you do.
Yeah.
Go heels.
One last point before we do end it. This is the Minnesota goodbye where we talk for 20 more minutes. Not really, but I think...
Oh, yeah, they only do that in Minnesota, nowhere else.
The Midwest goodbye. Which I just said in the Southern accent. So I think...
Is that what that was? Anyway, go ahead.
I'm sick, Colby. I think to your point about relationships aren't work, I think that's a great point. Because I don't think they should be work. I think they should be fun. But I think if at any point, like, it feels work that you guys need to stay together and, like, talk, I don't know, like, you can't have the bad times outweigh the good, I guess. That's sort of when you're like, okay, oh, maybe this isn't the best thing. This is my Martha's relationship advice podcast.
Yes. I have more I want to say, but I also like need to go, so I can't keep talking about this forever.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of Martha and Colby Grow Up. We will be back next week with another reflection topic.
Follow us on all of our socials. Give us a rate and a review on iTunes or wherever you rate and review your podcast. We will talk to you next week.
Find us online at www.shityouneedtoknow.com or needtoknow.show, and on Twitter and Instagram at SYNTKpod.
Thank you to Stephen Boyd and DJ Empirical for all things sound. Big shouts to Irene, even though you don't listen to the podcast.
And don't forget to rate us 5 stars and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, and we'll talk soon. Frozen.
Oh, am I? Can you hear me right now? Oh,
back.
No, she can't hear me. Ah, I'm going to keep rolling. Hi, Steven. Let's play around with this and hope that I come back. Is it
Colby? Facebook?
Okay, so weird. This is strange. Let me pull up Audacity.
You're frozen.
I know I'm frozen, Martha. Please keep this in, Steven.